Bring up submissions on the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan. And at this stage, we are hearing from Stephen and Tracy Henderson. Are you here? Come on up. Welcome.
Afternoon, everybody.
Thanks for putting in the original submissions. We've read those, so you don't need to read those out to us, but I see you tabled some material. Would you like to lead us through that? Introduce yourselves, lead us through your material, and then we'll see if we have questions for you.
No worries.
Thank you. So, it's Steve and I, 50-50 shear milking, 800 cows in Arara. We currently don't own our own land. However, our goals are to own our own farm one day. We're both from farming backgrounds, including dairy and sheep and beef. We have worked our way up from farm workers, contract milkers to herd owners. We've worked in all areas of Southland, in Pokerau, Centrebush and now Arua. Every farm we have managed, taking huge pride in the property and looking after the environment. We look forward to owning our own piece of land that we can farm and bring our children up on. We really do want to look after the environment and feel strongly about looking after it. We want it to be healthy for our next generation. We oppose the restrictions in place for intensive winter grazing and instead think we should focus on the management. We currently winter our 800 cows on a leased block next to our dairy farm. We think that instead of putting restrictions in place for a 50 hectare or 20 hectare depending on the area, there should be stipulations in place, such as a buffer zone between crop and creek, 3 metres or more. And I have included in your first photo of our wintering this year with buffer. Feed the crop off so that the closest to the creek is grazed last. So all of our crops over this winter have been started from the other end of the paddock and grazed last towards the creek. We back fence to reduce the pugging and soil damage and any runoff. We use portable troughs and shift them with our back fences. And we put bales, which I've also got in those photos, out on the crop in the summer to avoid any wheel rocks, ruts and crop over the winter. So they're placed out on our crop when we put the crops in. We have changed our winter management to suit the soils. Instead of putting in a fodder bee crop and getting, say, 25 ton crop, we've used winter turnips to suit our environment and get 10 ton crops. Why, I hear you say. This is so that the cows get more area, they stay on top of the ground, causing less damage to the ground, no runoff, and this has greatly improved our stock health. If we were restricted to an area, we would be putting in these high ton crops, which would be less good for the environment. After our winter crops, we do minimal cultivation and sow forage oats to mop up any of the nutrients. Our topography is flat, so minimal runoff of peat over the winter on our crops.
So Tracy's just spoken about the winter management, and then I'll talk a little on the cost side of things. So to winter 800 cows for 10 weeks, $30 a week, there'd be $240,000 plus transport. For our wintering of our cows, and we're 50-50, so it's $120,000 for us. In a current situation, we can winter our cows for $75,000. So, as our business and family, that's a $45,000 annually saving by us wintering on a current lease block. So, to get that $45,000 that we would lose at a $6 payout, we'll need to do another $15,000 solids, and as a 50-50. Which would involve more imported feed and would increase the environmental footprint on our dairy farm. And the peat zoning, which you can see on that map there. So where we're farming is in the zone here.
Yep.
And we have a little bit of peat zoning there. And there's a photo.
The last photo, I think, of paddocks.
So that's zoned as peat, and it's in pasture now. So that was the zoning that may need to be looked at and there is no actual peat under that pasture. That's just an example of the zoning that might be need to be rejigged. So we believe we should still be allowed to graze on it and dependent being able to winter on it. Although the areas of raw peat, we do believe still need to get a consent to do that.
Yeah.
For the fertiliser on our property, this is the 10 metre buffer rule that was thought to be in place. We use TrackMap to apply all our fertilisers, and there's a near the back there, there's a printout of the TrackMap that we can receive, the job sheet from us doing it. So this allows us to exactly know where we're putting the fert and up to that creek edge. So just quantifying that, having a 10 metre buffer on the dairy farm would reduce the fertilisable hectares by 20, and that's that next page over. There's an agri-map area, and that's all of our creek lines, those red lines. So that's the open ditches, and that adds up to 20 hectares if you take both sides of the creek that you can't fertilise. So dairy cows' numbers would have to be decreased by 30 cows to cater for the reduced pasture yield, which we assumed 50% pasture yield, so we'd be down to 1.5 cows to the hectare on that 20 hectares, therefore reducing the family income. This is the same on the runoff, which would equate to 11.6 hectares that we wouldn't be allowed to fertilise, and which wouldn't allow us to farm intensively on that lease block, which wouldn't meet our business, staff and family goals. So we believe with the proof of placement, we should be allowed to fertilise within that 10 metres that's currently under review. And that's all that we were going to speak on that we submitted. Any questions?
I'll just check if we do. Just in terms of that fertiliser issue, and that's Rule 14 in the plan, the staff have recommended to us that the 10 metres be amended to 3 metres. Mm-hmm. Would that fit in with your current practice?
Yes. Okay. Yep. That would, it would obviously decrease the hectares that we wouldn't be allowed to fertilise, so the numbers wouldn't be as big.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. excuse me, just going on the 2050 hectare that you raised, had you thought of a percentage instead of a fixed area percentage?
Yes, yes, and you want a number that we want, a percentage that we...
That would be nice, but first of all, this is clarifying, would a percentage help some of the issues?
Yes, correct, and that's what we said in one of our...
Yep. And if so, what would that percentage be for your operation?
Right now it would be, we're at 50, so that would be 20%, 25% for our runoff.
Okay, Dairy NZ gave us some feedback as well around winter grazing and what they termed as good management practice. They also covered off, in their photos, the bales being put out in waste knot feeders, etc. Is that a practice that you use?
Yes, we put them out in 3 ring feeders, so it's waste knot, I believe. Have they got tin around the bottom?
It's waste knot is a brand name, so
yes.
Some sort of frame structure.
Yes, yep. All our bales are placed, they are placed over the bales.
Okay, and then my last question is, you've mentioned about mop-up crops. There's not very much mud in your photos, but how regularly can you actually use mop-up crops in your situation with your approach?
This year we're going to get all our winter crop paddocks back into oats. Last year we were about 80%, so over those 2 years you would maybe average 80-90% of the time.
Okay. And you'll have an overseer program or something similar?
Yes, yep, that's what we're
doing. And is that helping your leaching numbers?
It hasn't been redone this year, so we'll find out once we redo it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you import any feed at all, or are you totally self-contained?
For the runoff wintering, we're all self-contained. For the dairy farm, all the silage is self-contained, and we import a little... Yep, to replace silage that if we get a dry, we import a little part kernel for the dairy farm.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Are you predominantly peat where you are?
Yes, under classification we are.
Yeah. Yes. So, in fact, the farm is probably formally, some of it's been developed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So probably was formerly all peat.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
No, thanks. That's been very good. Thanks very much.
I just got one question. It's a little bit more philosophical than a directly technical question. In your presentation today, in your bullet points, you've listed some good management practices for intensive winter grazing, which very much align with the guidance documents produced by a number of agencies.
Yes.
Here in New Zealand, Fonterra, the council itself, which is good, and it's good to see you're doing that. That's commendable. How should the plan deal with farmers who aren't doing these good management practices?
Yes, I think I should.
Yeah, so what should the plan say about that?
I hate to speak out of turn. I haven't put much thought into that one. We don't associate with farmers that do that, do we?
Don't know anyone like that. Oh, fair enough.
No, it's a good question and something that definitely would be good to think about.
All right, fair enough. Thanks very much for coming in.
No, thank you for listening and giving the opportunity to speak and submit on those.
Cheers for that.